I've been working with entrepreneurs who are seriously working their ass off, working from early in the morning till late at night, and they don't stop, and they want to make the money, and they feel like that if you don't work all the time, you're not going to create the business or the revenue that you want. You got into this entrepreneur thing because you want to create financial freedom, but you also want to create life freedom. I get it. You need to go to cashflowtoceo.com. I teach simple and proven strategies that work. How to create a rock solid client attraction formula that brings in quality leads. How to provide value the smart way so you can turn cold leads into paying clients faster. I help you learn what kind of value you need to give. How to price your products. How to be confident in selling your products. If this sounds like something that can help you, go to cashflowtoceo.com or click the link in the show notes. I'll see you there. There are millions of women in business that are crushing it. And I mean, seriously crushing it. Some who you know and many who you've never even heard of. They're going to share how they did it so you can figure out how you can do it too. But here's the deal. It's not just about sales and selling. So I'm going to be bringing you the woo too. Get ready, get set, because it's almost go time for Women Crush Wednesday. I could just listen to that music all day long. I freaking love that track that you guys picked. Thank you, Nada.
You're very, very welcome.
And by you guys, I mean you, Nada. You. All right. Hey, everybody. I'm Jen Gluckow, and I am the host of the Woman Crush Wednesday segment on Sell or Die. What's up? Thank you for pushing play. I am so freaking glad you're here because today is gonna rock. My guest today is Gina Tremarco, founder of Pivot 10 Results and co-host of the Woman Your Mother Warned You About podcast. She is freaking phenomenal. I was just on vacation at the beach and I chose to hang out with her. Actually, she also sort of chose to hang out with me because I guess she did drive about 90 minutes to hang out. But that's how much we actually like each other. Like, you guys, she is freaking phenomenal and someone you want to know in real life. But since you don't yet know her in real life, it's important you listen to her on this podcast because I can guarantee you're gonna love her. She talked about so many great topics and she folded them into relatable things that we can all take into our sales days and our selling lives. And, you know, for example, like, how can a boudoir shoot equate to selling? Well, you're about to find out. Take a listen. We're the co-host of the Woman Your Mother Warned You About podcast with Rachel Pitts. And I wanted to talk to you about that first because you started this podcast from scratch. So what's that been like?
Oh my gosh, it's been, anything that you start, you have an idea for, you have to like expect that it's going to evolve. And it evolved pretty quickly and it's been pretty wild. It started out as this kind of platform, this personal branding platform for both of us to personally brand ourselves, to link back to our businesses. And then it really morphed because all of a sudden women started messaging us saying how much we were helping them and how much we were changing their lives. And because we're talking about a variety of things, not just keeping it to sales anymore, like now we're kind of rebranding to the podcast that makes everything sexy again versus sales. I mean, we still are very heavily sales, but our lives as women in business, like we have so much going on and starting to watch the trends of, you know, our downloads, the ones that have like the most traction are where we're talking about beauty and how we look and standing in our body image, like those have the highest traction. So it's been really interesting to see what's most important to people, especially women.
I love that. It's interesting how it's morphed from sales to sexy, making everything sexy. Yeah. So, you know, on one of your recent episodes, you actually revealed that you had a boudoir shoot.
Yes.
like, so those are really awesome. And I don't know if you actually like posted pictures from that or if you just talked about it, but talk to me about the confidence that you need in order to do that.
Well, a couple things with that. So to answer your question about it, have I posted them yet? I have not posted them yet. I'm going to post some, and that's kind of an interesting...
Yeah, girl.
That's an interesting scenario because how you show up in your business, how is that going to impact your business? And are you willing to take the risk to do something that might turn people off? Right? Like, are they going to like, oh, she like is half naked in these pictures. So that, you know, that in itself is I'm still dwelling that one over. As far as the confidence of it, I think I've always had a lot of confidence. I've always been really comfortable in my skin, no matter what my size was, heavier, thinner, right? I've always had that confidence. I think you have to when you feel like you're imperfect. So I've always had the confidence, but it's still kind of like nerve-wracking because you're like, okay, like if you really have the confidence, prove it. Take half your clothes off and get in front of a camera. So working your way into that, right? Working your way into that is a little uncomfortable, but our photographer is amazing. She's also the photographer who does all of our professional photos for the podcast, but also for both of my businesses. So she's been branching out into this. And by the way, she relocated to Raleigh. So if you need a little something for yourself,
I'm interested.
If you're interested. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a little shy about that. I don't know. I don't know if I'd do it. Like,
well, let me tell you what I didn't expect. I expected I'd be like, okay, walking into it, but I didn't expect how empowered I felt by it.
In what sense? What do you mean?
I just felt like, damn, I'm powerful.
That's damn. So cool.
I'm like, look at me. I am hot. Look at that. Like you, it was cool is embracing your imperfection, right? You know, it's like, all right, no, I don't have a perfect body.
But no one does.
Right. And it's all really subjective. And until you start loving yourself exactly as you are, right? How do you expect anybody else to? In business or life.
Let's relate it like a little bit back to sales, because I'm thinking about when you go into the prospect, you get to wear clothing, but you really have to feel that same power. You really have to feel that same comfortableness with yourself. How do you gain that?
You know, I'm trying to like think of the best advice to give on that because I'm a little bit of a different animal, right? I've been in the performance entertainment world for most of my life, right? So things like improv have always been like the backbone to confidence, and the confidence comes from the willingness to fail and the willingness to like get back up again. So for me, that's a big piece of where confidence comes from, of showing up exactly as you are and knowing that not everyone's going to like you and not everyone's going to want to work with you. So the cool thing from a sales perspective is this is where you get to niche down who your ideal client is, who your ideal audience is. So the more you're willing to take those risks of being exactly who you are, the easier it's going to get to do business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know on your last, you're a repeat seller, diehard guest. I love it. Because on our last episode, we talked a lot about improv and how to use improv in sales. But I don't even know, how did you get into it? Like in your bio, I was talking about how you opened your own improv, but what made you, your own improv theater, but what made you want to do that?
Well, you know, being from Chicago, born and raised there, you know, it's like you have to take improv classes. It's almost like a requirement to be a city resident. So, you know, so somehow I ended up taking improv classes at Second City while I was in college, because this is crazy. I was an accounting major, which is scary. And I did that to like appease my dad. And then I realized, I'm like, gosh, this is just not me. So I'm like, I'll take improv classes and I'll be a good accountant. And then I changed my major because improv opened my eyes to the possibilities and creativity and how you can do whatever you want to do. And it doesn't have to be improv necessarily, but it gives you permission to embrace whatever. So I always had improv as a tool in my tool bag for life. And it actually shaped my entire career path. So it made me really confident of like, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. And being in that yes and mindset that we've talked about before, it really paved the way. And so it, as I grew in my career, and then I had the opportunity to move to South Carolina to take over an IMAX theater, I was like, that's just such a crazy leap for me to do that. I'm like, let's do it. Let's try it. And then I did it, and I got to Myrtle Beach. And for a variety of reasons, I was really stressed out by the transition. And I thought, well, I'm going to go take a refresher improv class, and that'll readjust my attitude, because it's like cheap therapy, frankly. And nobody knew what it was in the market. Nobody, like, I'm like, why is there no improv here? Like, where am I? Like, am I like under a rock? And I had to create it. I had to create the playground to have the playground. So I started to work towards creating the playground. And because I had a marketing and sales background, I'm like, all right, well, I need a website, and I better do some PR, and I got to fill classes, and I'm going to learn how to teach, and I'm going to get all this in order. And then 1 week before my class started, I got fired because the recession hit. And I kept looking for jobs and couldn't find jobs. And I just kept teaching classes, and the media picked it up because of my PR background. I'm like, I was sending out press releases, and I was on TV shows and radio interviews. And next thing you know, there was a demand for these classes. And within a year, a mall approached me and said, do you want to build a theater in the mall? And I'm like, that's insane. Okay.
Way to go. So first of all, I love that, you know, you basically had two sales. You had to sell the community on their need for improv, right? And then correct, sell them that you're the place.
Correct.
That's phenomenal. And so talk to me about that, what you were saying at the beginning about failure, about, you know, you're not afraid to fail, because most people are afraid to fail.
And we teach, you know, what we do is we help rewire people's brains about failure and look at failure in a positive way of like, I can't wait to fail.
Ooh.
Because, failure in comedy is funny, right? People will laugh at you because you failed, and they're like, huh, thank God that's not me. Right? So that's so true
and sad, but true.
Right. So people are like, oh, good. Thank God. So that works for us for us in entertainment. From a selling perspective, though, every time you fail, it's a, oh, that didn't work. Oh, that approach didn't work. It's like dealing with every objection, right? Every objection is a failure for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't close the deal. So for me, every failure is like, okay, I'm one step closer to understanding what they want. And we talked about this, you know, we just recently interviewed Jeb Blunt on Women Your Mother Warned You About, and we talked about the micro commitments.
Yep. He's been right on that. Yep.
So when you look at, great, I'm not closing the deal today. Great. I'm going to get the next commitment. Great. So I failed today, right? You can look at it as a failure, or you can look at it as an opportunity to innovate and create the next opportunity from the failure.
So many people would love to rewire their brains and just wake up one day and be like, okay, yes, I'm excited to fail. But that's not our reality, right? So what do you recommend to someone who's like, okay, I get the concept that Gene is talking about. I love it. I want to do it. But now what? How do I do it?
You keep doing it. It's a practice. You have to keep doing it and then say to yourself, okay, this didn't work. What can I do next? What approach can I take next? Right. This requires critical thinking, creative thinking, anything that you can do to work on your brain's creativity, you know, is one thing that you can think about, whether it's an improv class or painting or anything creative that gets you out of your space, right? Because it's a mindset piece, but sometimes people are like, okay, Jeannie, it's like, you know, people don't like to meditate. I can't meditate. Change my mindset. How do I change my mindset, right? Because it's so squishy of a concept.
Yep.
But it really comes down to the practice of it and looking forward to the excitement. You know, there's an improv exercise where we have people get on stage and they have to get on stage in front of the group and raise their hands in the air and go, "I failed," and everybody applauds for them.
I love that. That's awesome. I was just like taking notes and thinking, so the next time I fail, I'm going to jump up and down and literally scream I failed and then put on happy music and do a dance.
Like, exactly.
Yes, I failed. And like literally walk to everyone's desk and tell them and be so excited about it.
Exactly. And it's like embrace it and be like, okay, I failed. What can I do to raise the stakes on this failure?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like when you get the, one of the approaches I was taking this week, you know, and doing some follow-up prospecting, like, you know, these are like really warm, like they were interested kind of leads. And then you get that push off of like, yeah, well, you know, I gotta, you know, all the different push offs. So I was talking about this with Rachel yesterday because we do these weekly quick tips. And I said, you know, I took this new approach. I went through all my old emails of like any kind of prospecting conversations. And I started cycling through them and started like replying back to them. So there was like the subject lines were all different, like Happy New Year, right? Like whatever was going on, like, hey, we'll be in Omaha in November, like whatever those conversations were. I just started replying again to those conversations. So like it was a pattern interrupt for them when they're like, she's coming to Omaha. What? Like they don't remember talking to me 6 months ago, but now they get this wacky email, right?
Oh, man.
Of like, And so in those emails, when I like, instead of like doing the follow-up touch with them in the email, I'm like, hey, Miriam, how's your summer going?
Ooh.
And she's like, really good. How's yours been? Now, like the thread below is all about them buying into us for training. But I like said nothing about that. So it was, it was a fascinating exercise to see who responded back and how they responded back. And it, like, you know, I took them off guard, A, because it was a weird subject line, and B, I said about business.
Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
I know that you've been using emotional intelligence and improv as a tool to improve EQ more and more. Is this one of those examples?
Yeah, I would say this is another thing that I kind of stumbled onto. And I think actually I stumbled on it a couple years ago because of Jeb. Because I had read Sales EQ, and I really got into that. And I started to incorporate that more, because when you look at emotional intelligence, for people who don't necessarily follow it, right? Emotional intelligence is about your ability to manage and recognize your own emotions so that you can then help steer and manage other people's emotions, right? So there's four quadrants in that. And it really starts with self-awareness. So self-awareness, social awareness, right? You think about people who are socially awkward, right? You need social awareness. You need social skills. And you need to be able to manage your emotions. So there's these four areas. And when I started thinking about it, I'm like, this is all improv. This is all of, this is everything that we do on stage about creating a relationship on stage and creating a relationship with our audience. And emotional intelligence is about creating and managing relationships, because all relationships are emotionally driven.
Boom. I love how two of the things we just talked about. So, you know, morphing your podcast and now this using improv as a tool to improve EQ. You just sort of stumbled upon. How much of that do you think it's because
you just keep doing and keep trying things, and that it goes back to that idea that you're not afraid to fail versus like you're just lucky and so you're stumbling upon these random amazing things.
It's all about continuing. This is where the failure stuff comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is all about continuing to try things. Oh, that didn't work. Let me try this. Oh, that didn't work. Let me try this. And I did that like 18 months ago. I tested out a series of training workshops locally at our chamber. And I did an experiment where each month I ran a series. And because a lot of people love to come to the stuff I do. That's the feedback I get because I'm engaging. I'm like, I'm going to run this series and see what the feedback is, who shows up. And I ran a series where it was like 1 month was, you know, improv for sales. Then it was improv for customer service, improv for the team, improv for emotional intelligence, improv for recruiting and retention. And I did this whole series. And what that allowed me to do was to experiment through the whole process of what did people like? What didn't they like? What resonated with them? And a big surprise for me, and maybe it was about 2 years ago, was that it was like standing room only sessions for anything related to sales.
Whoa.
And I was like, this is really wild. And I really got into the improv for sales thing a while ago when I noticed how many salespeople were signing up for our classes. And I'm like, all right, this is a no-brainer. Well, why didn't I think? Because I originally got into the improv for business piece of it for team building and collaboration and leadership. And then you find out there's a million leadership trainers. You're like, okay, I have to niche better than that. But when I saw the sales angle of it and how valuable it was, right, that it got reinforced through those workshops that were like standing room only workshops.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the experimentation part of like, trying stuff and failing.
It's interesting because it's almost like you're living life and living out your business in experimentation. You know, like it's an experiment where I talk about this a lot, where, you know, if you're doing an experiment, you're not really tied to the outcome, right? You're trying to prove your hypothesis, but if it goes one way or another, you're not going to go cry. And so, you birthed this amazing podcast that I'm a listener, I love, called Woman Your Mother Warned You About. And then you realize, oh, wait, we've been talking about sales a lot and people. I love that you looked at the data.
Yeah.
Because how powerful is that? What if, you know, you didn't look at the data, you'd be talking about sales all day long. But like, what are some of the most popular episodes that you guys have aired?
I'd say the most popular episodes are the ones where we talk about the things that women are like uncomfortable about personally, you know, their bodies, how they look, how they show up, how they're judged. Like those are really popular. And then when we have some more influential people on the show, those have been really successful. Like, when Anthony Iannarino was on, that was really high. Trish Bertuzzi, that was really high. When you look at, you know, some of the thought leaders that people like, they want that information, but they don't want that information all the time.
Because we're real people.
Right, right. It's like, okay, great. I need that information, but let's hear about the boudoir shoot.
I'm still dying to know more about that. Like, how scary was it? On a scale of like 1 to 10, 10 being like just like scary out of your mind, how scary was it?
I would say, you know, it varied throughout. And so I would say on a scary level, for me, yeah, I wasn't really that scared.
was like a 1.
Yeah, I would say maybe on a scary level, I was a 3, but I was at about, an 8. When I had this bodysuit on, you know, like that snaps in the crotch.
Uh-huh.
And because you want to know. So I'm going to give you a story. So she's like, all right, I want you to get on your hands and knees and crawl to me like a tiger. So I'm crawling and the crotch snaps open.
Oh, my God.
And I can't get it snapped back. So I'm like, you're going to have to help me snap it back. Like, So I had to get on the bed put my legs up in the air, and I'm like, can you snap me up?
Oh man. That's incredible.
That was a little scary.
All right. So from boudoir back to business, I want to talk about some mindset things. Now, I follow you on social media and you're pretty public about breaking some bones and just going through. And I think you moved and you had a whole bunch of shit going on. Is that fair to say?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, shitstorm.
Yeah. And what I noticed through my follows of you, because I'm very fast to unfollow negative complainers, was that you were like more so stating the facts, like this shit just happened and here's why I'm laughing about it, or, you know, like here's how I'm staying positive about it. And I really want to, I don't know if you're willing to share any of like the small backstory, but like everyone goes through crap. It's truth, right? We have seasons where there's more crap than others, but you had like a lot of crap.
Yeah, all at one time.
Yeah. And so how did you remain positive and how did you get through it?
I think a lot of it has to do with, I did post something today about how funny my life is. And I just made it generic because I didn't really want to share exactly what happened today. Maybe I'll share it with you offline because I'm like, I don't think everybody wants to hear about it. There are some things that I, believe it or not, don't put out there. But I think it's a combination, right? Like comedy is my life for one. And so in the world of improv, we look for what we look for the game of the scene. We look for the pattern of the situation on stage. So we're always looking for a pattern that makes the audience laugh. So from an improv standpoint, when the audience laughs, we know that we hit on something that they like. Versus in stand-up, you know, like you write your script and you think that's funny and then you get mad when they don't laugh at you. In improv, you have to be able to ebb and flow with how the audience reacted to you. And so because I'm so trained in that, that's sort of how I approach everything. I'm like, oh, this is a funny pattern happening to me right now. How do I capitalize on that? That's number one. I think number two, the other challenges and, you know, personal challenges through life. I didn't have the easiest life. I didn't have the hardest life. I had a really good upbringing as far as my father goes and very positive, but he was much older than my mother and got sick when I was pretty young. And so I had to learn how to kind of be in survivor mindset, but as positively as possible. And so upbringing is a piece of it. The comedy part is a piece of it. And then your purpose. Like, I think what I've evolved to as part of my purpose is lifting up other people, specifically women. So I approach it in that way because, you know, some people feel like I overshare and I don't give a shit anymore what people think. My attitude is somebody actually wants to hear about it because they're having a hard time right now.
Yeah. Or maybe they're having a worse time.
Right. And they want to hear about it. So the people who've complained, again, it's like, who's your ideal client? The people are like, can't believe she did that. Good. Goodbye. Bye, girl. Right. Get out. Like, but when I get the feedback of like, thank you so much for what you posted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through this and this, and what you post really, you bring me up. And that's what I care about. I care about the people that I'm bringing up because that's my purpose.
So then are you evolving then? Because I know that you talk to companies and help people sell and you help people be funny. But now you're talking about lifting women up, which is like a whole new level.
Isn't that an interesting question, Jen? this has just recently come up for me, and I think Rachel and I are both in that same position. I think that's a big learning that we've had through the podcast that, I think that's the next evolution.
Mm.
I think it's a really big part of, you know, what's my bigger purpose. And I think I've always been in the mindset of lifting other women. So what does that mean? I don't know yet. I'm going to go through another set of experiments.
I love that.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. Will you be posting and sharing about your experiments online so we can follow them?
Sure. You know me. I post everything.
Well, you just said there's this one thing that you didn't post. So I had to check, you know.
I mean, I can share it. I don't know if you want me to share it.
No, no, no. That's all good. That's all good. That's all good. I was just trying to be a little funny. That's all.
Yeah. I will definitely share that. There's some things a girl's got to keep private.
That's right. That's right. Oh, man. I love this. So you're so awesome. Do you know that?
Aw, thank you. You're so awesome.
Why, girl. Thanks. Girl crush. I was trying to think about, like, what's the equivalent to a bromance for a girl? Is it because, like, is it like a fromance?
No.
And then I was like, well, maybe it's just a friendship. Like, the F is for female. I was like, that's boring.
I like Girl Crush. I also like, you know, again, there's like a lot of women out there that have become followers of us from the podcast. And there are some women and they get a kick out of it when I say it. I go, okay, hello, my new bestie.
Ooh.
They love it when I call them my new bestie. And then Rachel's like, wait a second. I'm like, I have lots of new besties.
Oh man.
You want to build a really cool tribe of women, you know? And I think that's another part of where my purpose is that we really are building this amazing tribe of really cool chicks. Not like there are some women out there in business, I'll leave them nameless, that they're not as supportive.
Wow. That was amazing. I hope you guys were on the seat of your pants. What's that expression? The pants of your seat?
You had it right the first time.
I hope you guys were on the seat of your pants as much as I was. Like, I wanted to know what she was going to say next because it's so interesting to hear about how improv relates to selling, how her boudoir shoot, how everything in life freaking relates to selling. I mean, she was talking about having the confidence due to her own life experiences, but it got me thinking, like, if you don't have the confidence and you feel like you need more confidence, what are some of those things you can do in sales to gain more confidence? And I actually have a whole PDF on this that I give you when you join my Cash Flow to CEO program. It's ways to, you know, gain more confidence in sales. But one of the things, and I'll just tell you right off the bat, one of the things that I think is most important is experience, because once you can create experiences that lead to yes, that becomes evidence in your mind that you can do it. And the more and more evidence that you can build up that you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you did it, so you can do it again, the more easy it's going to be the next time around, because it's going to alter your belief system. And so for me, it's all about creating that evidence. And if you want more on this besides joining my Cash Flow to CEO program, which, you know, that's always an option. But if you want free info on this, go back and listen to that Jazzy episode, because it's a Woman Crush Wednesday episode from a couple of weeks ago, because she actually talks about changing your belief system and how you can do these reframes. It's really interesting, but it all plays into your confidence. And so another big thing that Gina mentioned was the ability to treat failure as a lesson. Like, I always like to say fail forward, because it's not just failing, but it's actually failing and moving yourself forward at the same time. But, you know, every single failure you have to use is something that can really take you to the next level. So, for example, I was at the beach this week and I play tennis every morning with Tori Tennis. And one morning, the first morning, Tori Tennis was like, "What are you thinking about?" Because I just wasn't hitting like my normal shots. And I was like, "Oh, nothing." She's like, "That's right. You're not thinking. Here's what you need to be thinking about." And like really focused me on thinking about something with my movement that I wasn't doing correctly because I wasn't turning my body full on. And I realized it's not just that I wasn't doing that, but I wasn't focused. I was thinking about all the other things that are off the court that really I didn't need to bring on the court with me. And they were still in my mind. And so I was thinking, even though I lied,
Tori, I'm sorry. I love you. But I was just thinking about the wrong things. And so I used that night. I went home and analyzed my game. And it was like, instead of being upset with myself and pissed off that I didn't have my best game that morning, I decided to use it as a lesson for the next day. And so the next morning I woke up and I freaking crushed it on the court. Now, of course, I'm talking about tennis, and you might not play tennis, you might not give a shit about tennis, but this is the same in life. Like, this is totally not just what's on the court, okay? You can have that moment of failure. To me, it was failure because I like to have a great game, right? So to me, I wasn't winning. I wasn't doing the things that I wanted to be doing out there. And so I took that as the lesson. Rather than focus on the failure part of it, I went home and said, okay, what are the two things I could do? Where's my opportunity here? What's the thing I can do tomorrow to improve? And so then the next day, I got on the court. Now imagine the court is life. So you step back into life the next morning when you wake up, and you use those lessons from yesterday, like these micro failures, to turn them into major wins or major opportunities. And that's exactly what you need to do in life, not just like on the court, not just in sales, but in life. And so here's what I want you to do. I know you loved this episode because I loved it and it was really good. So I'm assuming you loved it. I'm not going to say I know you did. I think you did. And I want you to post a screenshot of it on Instagram, tag me and Gina in it, and then DM me what a micro failure, one micro failure you've had this week that you've been able to turn into a major opportunity, because I want to know about it. I really do. I want to know about it. Tag me on Instagram and I'm going to post them all in my story. All right, so you're going to DM me on Instagram. I want to hear from you. I want to know your micro failures that you're going to turn into major opportunities and into major wins. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow, and I'm reminding you to go crush it.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellerDieNetwork.com.